Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is our first Laker hockey show on site at the Antlers in more than a year and a half probably since we've been here. But we are going to change our format. It's going to be a lunch show this season. And we've got Damon with us here, the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, who got his 100th win on Saturday night at Omaha, a 4-3 overtime victory. And that puts him into some elite coaching category at Lake Superior State with Ron Mason, Frank Anzalone, Jeff Jackson, and Jim Rock. That's four guys who won a lot of hockey games for Lake Superior State. And Damon's here. Matt Pocket's here. He called both games out in Omaha. He'll have a lot to say during this show today. And we do have a few fans here with us at the Antlers. We're hoping we can grow that as we move along through the season. But Damon, congratulations on win number 100. And that was a heck of a hockey game. You had to come from behind, score in the last minute or so of play to tie it, and then win it in overtime on Brandon Percelli's second goal of the game.
Yeah, well, I think I'll start with the 100 wins and just comment on that a little bit. And I hadn't thought about it at all. I'm not even sure if I knew. Like, I knew we had the 1,000 win coming up in the NCAA tournament, and that was a big milestone for the program. But it was really remarkable to hear from so many people and, very appreciative for the kind words from fans. I know on our social media page, we had a bunch of guys put videos in, so it was awesome to see some of those former players. And, and then obviously, as you mentioned, some of the legends in college hockey all started here at Lake State, starting with my coach, Coach Mason. And so just to be in the same breath of them is very, very humbling and, a great honor. So I think for myself and Angie and the kids, we've been very thankful to be here in Sault Ste. Marie and have the opportunity to stick around here for a little bit and kind of rebuild this. So, very appreciative for all the kind words on that and, very, very humbled to be mentioned with those coaches. And, we're looking forward to getting the next 100 in a much quicker fashion here. And I thought it was a good start to the season, Bill. As you said, Matt had the call there. The resiliency we showed on Saturday night, the first game of the series was outstanding. And it was interesting, as we got down there, and I'm sure we'll talk about our roster and things like that, but we're missing a couple guys with injuries and suspensions. And so when we got down there and just looking at how young we are and how many new guys, a couple of those guys transfers, but a lot of them freshmen. And then when you went over Omaha's roster, and they've, I think, got 5 grad transfers and 12 or 14 of their top scorers back, it's a very experienced team. So it was a pretty big mismatch on paper in terms of experience versus a very young team. And for us to go down a couple goals early and then fight back and, tie it late. Once again, we went down 3-2. And then to get that tying goal by Harry Roy and then the overtime winner by Percelli, I thought showed a ton about our not only our team and our ability and our talent, but our resiliency as a group to fight back. So, like that a lot. And then I thought Sunday we played better as a team. Power play, couldn't get it done early. We had 4 chances, I think, in the first period to score on the power play. And I think really, impact that game and take that game over potentially. But obviously the power play really struggled. So we've got to get some serious work done on that and, fix that. So we couldn't score on Sunday and, they came out with a little bit better effort in some areas as well. But I thought, encouraging effort. And we learned a lot about our team in a lot of different areas, and I'm sure we'll dig into that more. So a decent start for us, and we're looking forward to take those lessons and get better.
Yeah, Damon, by the numbers, 5 debuts on Friday, college hockey debuts, 2 transfers in Harrison Roy and Jake Willits, who both had amazing games. Roy tied it up with 64 seconds left, and 2 guys in Tyler Williams and Spencer Denbesty with a combined 4 games of college hockey experience. So between the 9 of them, there's a combined 4 games of experience coming into that lineup, and what a performance really to hang on like that against, like you said, a veteran team with just a ton of experience.
Yeah, and I would add Josh Wildauer as well. He got hurt last year, so he was in our lineup to start the season, was off to a good start, then had a shoulder injury, and so he had a limited season last year as well. So, when you added up the man games in our lineup versus theirs, it was a very, very significant difference there. And like I said, I thought our guys played really well. Sometimes it's maybe not a bad thing. You go in there, we're so young and so inexperienced that we just show up and play. We weren't worried about being on the road or fans back in the building for a first time or playing an NCAA team with experience like Omaha. So I thought a lot of really good individual performances. And I think a lot of guys that we're really excited about and encouraged about, whether they're returners or new guys, but we've got a very smart hockey team. I think we skate better. We play with more pace this year. And I thought our IQ was really, really good. And we talked about that, I think, post-game Sunday. There was a couple moments in the game where behind the – you know, the players are all watching the action, and sometimes we're standing behind there, and we'll kind of look at each other, have a little comment or conversation, and we just kind of looked at each other. Like, you know, we've got a smart hockey team, you know, very good IQ out there. Our sticks are improved. So we like a lot of things about this team. We're just going to have to overcome that experience gap quickly.
Yeah, I thought Jake Willits really had a big hand in setting the tone in night one, too, for the Lakers when – down early by two goals, still rallied in that first period, but he threw a couple of big hits. There were, I think it was Kevin Conley got crushed in the corner early on in that game in the first period, and then the big hit on Chase Primo, too, at center ice. I mean, he brings something to the lineup. And jumping up in the rush, too, he's not just a one-dimensional crusher. He had an incredible goal-scoring record back in his high school days and his junior days, too. Willits is a complete player. He brings something special to this lineup.
Yeah, we knew he was bringing that power play ability and the good stick, the scoring ability, the activation, the, you know, some of those big open ice hits, you know, that I didn't know that was part of his game. So he's very, very willing and ready to play, you know, with some physicality, which you lose a little bit with Kybal, you know, Will Rydell brought over to that. So Jake does a really good job. Strong, he hits with impact. You know, I still think there's some habits and some structure changes that we're working with him on as he plays our style. So I think it's just tip of the iceberg for Jake, but he's been really good for us, and he pounds pucks. You know, very, very valuable piece that we picked up. And again, we wanted to add a guy like him because of some of that experience we lost. I think he's done a really good job stepping into the lineup with guys like Arvid Henriksen and Bankston and Nordqvist and Mitch Oliver, who are our other experienced guys, so we don't have that big loss of experience on the back end.
Damon, I thought it was kind of interesting, too, to take a look at these two games. Now, on the Saturday night game, game one, you get outshot 40-19. You get beat in the faceoff circle 42-21. You go 0-3 on the power play, but so did Omaha. Then on Sunday, you really tightened things up. You must have made some emphasis and shown some video, and we did a much better job statistically. 29-24 were the shots on goal. Faceoffs 36-24 in favor of Omaha. Lakers go 0-6 on a power play, and I know that's something that you're going to really work on in the next few weeks. You're certainly going to need it this weekend at Michigan, but UNO was only 1-6 on the power play with an experienced team and an experienced power play. But I thought statistically we did way better Sunday, yet we won the game on Saturday night with a great effort right at the end.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I thought Sunday was their better effort. You know, I will say Saturday, just like for us, it was their first time as a crew. So, like, you know, we didn't have stats coming down, and they were tinkering with some things or getting their people in place. So I thought the stats were a little bit thrown out the window on Saturday because they weren't quite as accurate either. And I know they talked to our people about missing some shot opportunities and things like that. So those were a little bit off. You know, the area that really concerned me was our faceoffs. You know, we need to be much better on faceoffs. We have a goal of winning at least 55%, and we were in the 40s both nights. So we really, you know, have to do a better job in the faceoff circle. That's a unit of five. You know, that's not just center centers who take draws. It's, you know, knowing your routes on a lost draw. It's, you know, having face-off intensity when we don't to win it, or 50-50 puck. So as a group, you know, we've got to do a lot better job on face-offs. A little bit of that's that inexperience we talked about, and that showed up there. But that's got to get fixed. You know, we had to spend a lot of time chasing things because we didn't win draws. And that was a big part of our power play issues. I'm not sure we won one face-off on the power play. And, you know, now you're chasing, you're trying to get up ice, and I think they were about a top 10, top 12 group nationally on the penalty kill last year. They returned every single piece of their penalty kill, and we're trying to get some new guys in. So that was a good advantage that they were able to, you know, manipulate for them, and we've got to get that fixed. So like you said, we'll turn attention to power play today and all week as we have a short week of preparation before heading down to Ann Arbor.
They were 10th nationally on the penalty kill last season. Really good team on the PK. I thought in goal, Isaiah Seville didn't have a lot to do on Saturday night, and he did not really look that good, but goalies have talked about that for years. They hate that. They want to be in the thick of things. Sunday, he was far busier and looked far more comfortable. I thought really showed his class as an ex-fifth-round NHL draft pick. Meanwhile, for you guys, Langenegger and Eisley both looked really, really good, I thought. The kind of performances that I thought from both of them, it was a statement saying, I want this starting job. This job is mine. But they both did it, and it really solved nothing.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite parts of the weekend, too, is, you know, we've got Percelli scored the overtime winner, and as we're watching it back, you know, late at night, you know, finish watching the game, and you see the team streaming off the bench, all going to Percelli. Langenegger jumps off the bench and goes down, and then he stops and turns and he waits for Seth. You know, so, yeah, you know, instead yeah. of going and celebrating with a goal scorer, he goes and gives Seth, you know, the congratulations and the reward. So two great individuals. It's a great competition right now between two mature kids who want to see the team succeed first and foremost. But it is. It's going to be a great competition. You know, Seth gave up a couple early goals, so that was a little bit challenging to, you know, to come back from. But he settled in and did a great job, showed that great resiliency we already talked about. And then I thought Ethan, same thing. I think they scored their first goal with 8 minutes left in the second period on Sunday. I thought Ethan was really good up into that point. It was a little redirect tip out front, so we didn't have really much of a chance on the first goal. And both guys are good. We're really good there, very talented goaltenders. Again, you know, that experience level is not super high. So them handling the highs and lows and this competition and, you know, on the road, all those things are going to be things we've got to learn a little bit more about them. But both of these guys want that number one job, and I think it's going to be a really awesome competition to watch, and we're very confident with both of them. So that's it's good. When you like your goaltending, that's a good spot to be. You can sleep a little bit easier at night as a coach when you've got quality goaltenders, and we've got three of them, and those top two right now are in a great competition and battle.
Yeah, and I think when you're in that situation too, you really have to buy into the team dynamic, and you have to understand that, listen, you want this job, but you have to be supportive of your teammate too. This is his career too. He's your friend. He's somebody that you have to support. Otherwise, it gets really toxic and disruptive. And these are both good guys. They come from good backgrounds. They've been really supportive. They've been great teammates, not just to everybody else, but to each other too. It's that full buy-in.
Yeah, we know it's funny. Merrick Mittens texted after the Saturday night win and the 100th and things like that. And I just said, Mitch, you know, thanks to you for doing such a good job to show these guys, you know, what it takes to be that. You know, we didn't play Mitt some games last year when he probably wasn't real happy because he was having an unbelievable year. But, you know, he understood what we were trying to do and that it's about the team. And so I thought Merrick's, Nick Kossoff before that, you know, we've had really good culture in the room. Zach Sizek, obviously, you know, is responsible for that goaltending group and works closely with them. So high character kids that want to see the team successful. It's not always easy to put the team above, you know, your own developmental needs or wants, but they're doing that. You know, I think we foresee, you know, this being a competition for a while. And then if somebody maybe emerges or, you know, looks, the numbers kind of dictate that we go with one, that's a situation we'll have to deal with when we get there. But I think we'll continue to look at both these guys playing each weekend right now, and they can both go in and get wins. So that's a positive thing.
I thought it was really good on Saturday night too. You get two goals out of Brandon Percelli. We expect him to be a goal scorer this year. He's one of the few guys coming back who had scored a number of goals last year. I think he had 8 on the season. He and Louis Bidon are going to be looked to for a lot of offense. I thought the goal he scored in overtime, I looked at the replay on that after the game, it was just spectacular. I mean, this guy does that play where he, I call it a squat move. He'll come in and he spreads out, and then he'll spin one way or the other depending on which way he needs to go to beat a D-man. Went right around the guy, walked right in and scored.
Yeah, good little deception there on that rush play with Louis. And then, like you said, kind of a mohawk turn there that Brandon's very comfortable doing, and it's very elusive. It's hard to defend when you get on those inside edges, and Brandon does a great job of it. So yeah, he played a really strong game, obviously, and was a big impact. We're going to need that from him, as you mentioned. And you know, some other guys generate some good opportunities. I thought Dawson Tritt scored a beautiful goal, showed great poise and patience out front. You know, I thought Dawson played really, really well and was really impressed with his play. Same thing, Timo Back has played really well. Some of those young guys, freshmen. Josh Nixon, it's too bad. Nixie on Sunday got a little bit lost in the shuffle because there was so much special teams. And just as a freshman right now, he's not on any of those units. So, like, Nixie's minutes were really reduced on Sunday due to that. But I thought he was very noticeable and really good. Brett Rolison went in on Sunday night, and Brett Rolison had a really strong game as well. So I don't know who I'm missing up front in our freshman forwards, but I thought they all went in and did a really good job to play with, you know, intelligence and poise and pace. And it's a group that I think is going to be really good for us.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Jake Willits, of course, but I thought Harrison Roy, who got the tying goal with 64 seconds left on Saturday night, what a brilliant goal that was, too. And I thought a really good shift from him overall. Dustin Manns, I thought, was much improved in a playmaker role. And you mentioned Nixon. He brought a real spark 5-on-5. I mean, he's not a big kid. He's, what, 5'8"? He's kind of close to my size. But, man, he's got some jump when he picks that puck up in space. You just feel like something electric is going to happen. And I thought Grant Hinman on defense looked really capable, too. He was kind of coming in that same role where you saw Artie Borisov and Jeremy Gervais rotating through last year, and looked really good when he was called on.
Yeah, and so I'll skip Manzi now as a returner, but you know, those other guys you mentioned, Harry Roy is a transfer. Obviously, he's got a year of college hockey under his belt, so you know he's came from Boston College, so he's played top competition last year out in Hockey East, and so he was very ready to play and contributed in a lot of different ways, including that game tying goal. So Harry is a very valuable addition to our team and continue to play in key situations and really all situations, which is what he did on the weekend. And Grant Hinman, like you said, Grant can skate. He's a very good skater. He's very, very strong. He's coming out of Youngstown where they played the national program and they played, the Chicago Steel. And so he's played, really high-end opponents who can play with pace and scale and things like that. So Grant can come in and defend right away and, played really well. Our D-Core, we're still sorting out some pairings and things like that, but we went with 7D both nights, that same unit. And, I think it's a strength of our team for sure. But there's also things we have to tighten up and, we've got to communicate better and identify some things earlier. But it's a strength of our team. Sebastian Medim and Jeremy Gervais were both on the trip with us. They're both ready to play and can play. So, we've got to look for some opportunities to get those guys in and continue to sort what that, that D group looks like.
We got a lot to talk about here this noon. Again, it's the Laker Hockey Show, our first of the season on site here at the Antlers. Again, great to be back. And we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to talk more about the series at Omaha, and then we'll get into Michigan coming up this weekend. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show back at the Antlers. Great to be back here. Last season, of course, we were in studio the whole season with the pandemic taking us out of play down here. But good to have some fans on hand. I'm sure the crowd will grow as the fans find out we're doing this show. This is totally different, doing it at noon now rather than 6 p.m. on a Tuesday. But it works better for us this way, and we'll try to continue it at this hour. Now, we've got a lot to talk about. We've got some questions from our fans who are here with us. I want to get into one thing, though, before we go too much farther, and I don't know how much you want to talk about all the details, and you don't need to go into any details if you don't want to, but it was obvious to me when I listened and watched on the weekend that we were missing some players. I mean, everybody's been waiting for Logan Genuine to play, and I've watched him in practice a bit. He did get hurt earlier and missed quite a bit of practice, and maybe that's why he didn't make the trip. But Jack Jeffers was missing, the young man who came from Huntsville and played for us last year as a junior. He's a senior now at Lake Superior, and Benny Poso was not in the lineup. I would have thought all three of those guys would make the trip and all play, but they did not.
Yeah, and that's part of that experience. You're losing some guys that have played, and, Benny had a good freshman year and played a lot down the stretch and was a good player. Logan has some college experience with Arizona State prior to transferring, and Jack Jeffers, is a real key part to our team. So, they're all a loss, but Jack certainly, when you look at how young we are and our lack of experience, so you're losing a senior like Jack Jeffers who played every game, really played all situations for us last year in a high role. So, Jack, a real key loss. And unfortunately, Jack underwent surgery yesterday, so he will be out for an extended period of time. We're hopeful he gets back later this season, but we're going to be missing Jack for quite a while here. Logan probably could have traveled and played, but we wanted to get him a little bit more time, and so he should be getting back in the lineup here shortly. And then we have a young man dealing with a violation of team rules, and that's our last situation that we've got somebody that's currently suspended from the team and traveling. So, we'll look to get two of those guys back sooner than later. And like I said, Jack Jeffers is going to be out for a little while. And that's a big loss for us with his experience, his leadership, the pace he plays with skill, his power play guy. And he would have helped. He would have been one of those guys that we actually returned with power play experience that was not available. So we wish him a speedy recovery and, look forward to getting him back hopefully sooner than later.
All right, we've got a number of questions from the fans who are with us today, and we'll just get right into those, Damon, at this point in the show. And, we've already kind of hit on this quite a bit, but were there any big surprises from the young people in the lineup this past weekend? We've talked a little bit about that, but I don't know if we hit everybody or not.
Yeah, I think we did, really. But, I thought Brett Rolson did a fantastic job Sunday night. Brett needs to get stronger, like a lot of freshmen typically do. Grant Hinman maybe is the other extreme of that. Brett needs to put some weight on and get stronger. But very smart hockey player, so I thought he went in. We put him on the wing. He's a natural center. He's been practicing at center really, I think, pretty much all year. But we kind of talked to him and asked if he thought he could go in there and play and get an opportunity, and he went and did that. So I thought Brett played with great IQ, great pace, made a lot of plays. He's got a really good stick. So I thought, you know, he really, really was impressive in that first debut. You know, Dawson Tritt, again, you know, thought he did a great job. You know, he's playing a little opportunity to play high up in the lineup. You know, and that's who I forgot earlier, Cole Kraft. But, you know, so we had a freshman line Sunday of Rollison, Backos and Tritt. It was Spencer Denbesti on Saturday with Backos and I'm sorry, Backos and Kraft. And I thought those guys were great. When you watch Saturday's game back, when we, as a game progressed, anytime we put the Backos line out there, they kind of flipped momentum and energy. You know, it wasn't our better game, but they went out and they got pucks out of our zone. They established a forecheck, kind of flipped momentum a little bit there. And I thought they built on that Sunday as well. They did a really good job, a little bit more possession, create a little bit more offense. So yeah, all those guys started really well. I think they're all going to be, you know, big, big players for us as the season progresses and down the road. So that's that freshman forward group at least. And again, Grant Hinman got valuable experience, 7D, so he's a little bit shuffling all over and it's a little bit hard to get settled, but I thought Grant played well also.
Big weekends upcoming, Michigan and then St. Thomas on the 15th and 16th for Great Lakes State Weekend. Tickets still available by phone at the box office and at lssulakers.com. How big do you think it was for those younger guys on the team to go out to Omaha and experience that, the opening night and the banner raising for Omaha too, which, by the way, is coming up for us on the 16th against St. Thomas. Again, tickets available now. How big do you think it was for those young guys to go in there, somebody else's banner night, and snatch the win from them in overtime like they did?
Well, I'll make sure we protect it for us. Yeah, maybe that's a good lesson, you know, what can happen there and some of the emotions. But, you know what, I have been back and forth a little bit, you know, as those who follow, you know, the national landscape of college hockey, a lot of exhibition games being played this year, and that was a late rule change where you can now play a Division I team in an exhibition game. So we saw Northern Michigan Tech play and many others. And, you know, so I am kind of wondering if more practice time in one exhibition game, maybe more regionally based, might have been a little bit more beneficial with a young team. Obviously, you know, that changed with the transfer portal. There's all these adjustments. But I do think ultimately this will be a good experience. We travel a little bit larger part of than we typically do, so everybody got to get on the road together and get to know each other. That was beneficial. You know, the first time playing in front of fans in over a year, so that was a very big adjustment. And then obviously we know what kind of crowd they have down in Ann Arbor at Yost Ice Arena. It'll be a great environment that way. So, yeah, I do think it prepares us. I think, too, we have two games under our belt that counted versus Michigan has one game under their belt. So we've got a little bit more game timing, a little bit more game conditioning with that little bit. So there should be some advantages that we can take out of that weekend.
Again, you're listening to the Laker Hockey Show. We're live at the Antlers on a Tuesday. We'll be at noon for the next few weeks at least, and we're going to try to make it that way all season. And Matt, you got anything else here?
Well, I think it's the old question about what do you do with those opening couple of weeks of the season? Do you really put your team into the fire? Do you test them? Do you challenge them and try to learn some difficult lessons about yourself? Obviously, you're going to find out good things about your team, and we found out a lot of those things this weekend. You also see some things that you want to work on, or do you maybe try to schedule a couple of cupcakes early on, get some game time, figure some things out that way, and get some good vibes going in? And I don't think that you ever know the answer when you're putting the schedule together, because you do that way in advance. There's contracts signed years out in some cases. But then once you actually get into the season, Damon, now you've got your chance to go, oh, maybe we should have done this or that. But that decision has been set in stone for months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, years sometimes. Like you said, so you don't know. You know, you don't know the changes you have or the losses or additions another team has. So, you know, it's our philosophy has been try to go get a strong national schedule. Obviously, you know, before we transition leagues in the old WCHA, we wanted to be careful of travel. Our footprint was so large in the league that, you know, you really beat up your players as you were traveling to Alaska and Alabama and everything like that. So certainly non-conference, we tried to not add, you know, a couple more tough trips. If we had to go to Alaska twice in a certain year, we try to be as regional as we could, which is not always easy for our location. But so there's a lot of different things at play. But yeah, I think we want to play, you know, strong teams. You know, going into Michigan and playing the, you know, one of the best teams in the country, that's going to make us a better team. You know, playing Omaha, which is matches coming up in the NCAA tournament. That makes us a better hockey team. So we want to grow. We want to be better in March than we are today. And I think when you play teams like that and buildings like that, that allows you to have that growth and that progress. And so that's what we'll challenge our guys with here in an hour or two. We'll look back quickly at the Omaha weekend, short week here, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. But we'll do some individual video with guys and help them see what they did well and some areas to improve upon. Quickly wrap up Omaha and then turn our attention to a very talented Michigan team.
Are you making any plans at this point to experiment with lines this week in practice and also this weekend against Michigan? This is a non-conference series. It's not like it's something that's really important in CCHA play, but it's pretty important. You're going to play a really good hockey team this weekend.
Yeah, really good hockey team, and it's big, for the league and for the pairwise and the tournament, all those things. So there's a lot of implications, and, that's probably the one – one thing that about college hockey would be nice if we did have a couple exhibition games and get some guys some opportunities and looks, but we just don't have that ability with the way our seasons are structured, and you just have to manage it and do what you can. So we have made some adjustments to some lines and want to try to establish some chemistry. I mentioned we have one or two guys coming back off of injury that'll we'll have to integrate back in. There'll be a couple small tweaks in practice today. Obviously going to look at the power play personnel and make some adjustments there as well. We're gonna look at all aspects of what we can try to do to go back on the road. And the other thing is, it was funny, I thought Mike Gabinet and Paul Girard, the whole staff there, almost any time we put the Timo Backlund line out, again, it was with Spencer Denbesty and Cole Kraft, so two freshmen and one sophomore. On Saturday night, three freshmen on Sunday night, their top line would come out. They'd throw the primo line out. And that's a tough matchup. And that's one of the reasons why we were so encouraged with our young guys. We didn't get to dictate much of the matchups. Obviously being on the road, you try to protect that or switch things as much as you can. But, if it was an icing or we just had to get that line out there because the other lines were fatigued, they'd bring their top line out. And I thought our guys did an awesome job against, experienced fifth-year guys and seniors and big bodies. And we're really excited about this group.
Yeah, you look at those three guys right there. Backlund played Division III last year in Germany. He didn't play that many games. He couldn't come over and play over here. And you got the other kids, just a pure freshman on the wing. And then Denbesty hasn't played that much. I mean, I can't remember if he played even more than one game last year. So he's inexperienced as well, and yet they held their own.
Yeah, they really did. And that's what, Matt brought that up a little in their broadcast. It was Tyler Williams didn't play a whole lot. Again, we had such a good team last year. Those guys deserve some more opportunities in games, but the guys in front of them, were playing so well. So, Will Dauer got hurt, didn't play a whole lot. So even our sophomores, we're very inexperienced. So to go out there against fourth years and fifth year guys, and it's a big, strong team. I can't remember, Bill, if you said it off the air, but Paul Girard's imprints on that team quite a bit, the way they play a heavy style and then a big team like the old Laker days when he was here. And they played that way. So our inexperienced team, feel encouraged. Now we have to grow from it and we have to learn. We can't be content with a split or things like that. But I think there's a lot of positives to take away from it and a lot of good teaching to come out of it as well.
Okay, question from the fans here that are with us today, and this is going to be answered in a couple of weeks when we play at home against St. Thomas on Great Lakes State weekend. But is there a printed program at this point? I would think, this is a good question because fans haven't been in the building.
Yeah.
They weren't there last year. So now they're going to come back in, and they're going to need to know who these players are. They want to see pictures that go with names.
Yeah, I think so. I remember 2 years ago, I think we maybe adjusted to that type of new style of, game night, whatever you call it, and then last year COVID, we probably wouldn't have had them because you didn't need them. So just a line chart. So I will look into that, but I would anticipate that we would have that for the fans to make sure you know who the new guys are and get a name with a number.
And that's one of the things that we're trying to do a little bit on the road too, with getting some of the guys in during the first intermission with our new 5 Good Minutes With segment. We had Louis Boudon on Saturday, the Laker captain, who, by the way, happy birthday yesterday. Yeah. He never told me. I had no idea. So happy birthday to the Laker captain. But then we had freshman Cole Kraft on Sunday, and two brilliant young men, two great talkers. Cole in particular is a freshman. I mean, most of the time you'll ask a kid a question in their freshman season, that, like, how's it going, bud? And they just look at you like, good, I think. Maybe.
Ask me again later.
He's a great talker. He's a bright kid.
Cole's very intelligent and very analytical, so it was a fun recruiting process with Cole. He's a North Bay, Ontario kid, and played down in Ottawa, then in Lincoln last year, and very analytical, very intelligent, high intelligence. So he's got a high maturity level. He can carry a conversation. Sometimes we need to cut him off a little bit because we got to move on.
How that goes.
Exactly. Yeah, Matt knows that. It's a good group of kids once again, and Louie and Cole are two of the high character, high intelligence guys that kind of lead our team.
Yeah, that's definitely something that we want to do going forward too during our first intermission on road weekends. Just a little something else to try to get some of the guys in front of the fans and get them engaged too. And it seemed like they had a good time talking about some of their memories growing up in hockey and just some cool stories from those guys too, especially Louie, whose dad played for the French national champions back in 1991. The Wolf Burners, their name translates out to. I got some French lessons from Louis for sure. Brûleur de Loup, the local team there.
It's a lot to learn from these guys and the experiences they bring in. It's really unique, and we talk about it quite a bit just with our international flavor. There's so much to kind of gather from that and appreciate about that. So I think it's a great segment, and glad we can do that.
Question, I'll combine a couple of things here from the fans. We've talked a little bit about this already. Who do you think the top scorers on this team will be this season? And the goaltending, it looks like a real strong point. We kind of hit on that already.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and like I said, I think we'll continue at least for the short term, probably anticipate both those guys getting in the games and continuing to battle. And then if there's some separation at some point, we'll discuss as a staff and with those two young men and make the best decision for the team. In terms of the point production and offense, I think some of those returners, you never know what a freshman's going to come in and do. I think some of those guys have a chance to come in and impact it, but certainly Brandon Percelli, we saw him get off to a good start. We'll need Louis Bedon to do that as well. Harry Roy is going to have opportunities to contribute as he did this past weekend. If you look at Dustin Mann's experience and track record, he's always been a guy that has a big, big step. He ended up being one of the top scorers in the BCHL. Josh Wildauer is another guy. I think I was just looking today. He's like fifth or sixth in the BCHL in points per game his last year out in Coquitlam on just a loaded team. Those are a few of the guys that pop out. Miro Muka is another guy. I think he's been off to a really good start. His line last year with Hampus and Yuki was, one of our more consistent lines in all 200 feet of the rink. And I think Miro's off to a very similar start this year as well, so playing really well. So those are a few of the guys, but we're going to need contributions from throughout. And I thought that was another area, Omaha, give them credit. They take care of their net front very well. They've got a big decor, a lot like us, a lot like UMass. They take a lot of pride in letting their goalie track pucks and see pucks. So it was a real battle trying to get to the net. And, we've got to learn from that as well and do a better job getting to that dirty area and scoring some goals.
Yeah, I'm supposing UMass put up a banner on Saturday night too and didn't do them any good. I mean, that Minnesota State team, though, they're very good and they always play really well right out of the gate. Mike Hastings is a heck of a coach.
Yeah, I think that was one of the more, surprising results of the weekend. I think a lot of people had that, it was 1-5, I think, is what they were preseason going into it. And, not at all surprised to see Mankato go in there and, get a win. But to go in there and sweep, were they down 3-0 in the third period, I think, Sunday's
three straight
game.
And scored
six straight to beat the defending national champion. So that was an impressive result, and it was really good. Ferris had a big win on Sunday. Overtime win against Miami as well. So, it's a good start.
I think what's impressive, too, about Minnesota State, when you look at the Mavericks, I think they held UMass to one shot the first period on the first night. They held them to something like four shots in the first period the next night, even though they gave up those couple of goals. I mean, that was impressive. That vaulted them all the way to the top spot in the latest USCHO poll, which, grain of salt, I mean, take it for what it is. Lakers actually lost three votes from last week, which I don't think that makes any sense. Omaha lost a bunch of votes too, but they stay at 17, which, again, also to me doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, well, it's early. The polls will sort themselves out, take care of business, and they'll sort themselves out. So, it's interesting, but Mankato, well-deserving, and then obviously as we turn to Michigan, I think they're three in the country, and, we'll talk about their talent and their team, I'm sure, coming up, but a big, big test.
Yeah, I love how Denver's sitting in 12th right now and still has one first-place vote. These rankings are funny things, aren't they?
They are. They're interesting to look at. You never know.
Yeah, it's you question all that stuff early. It doesn't matter. It's good for the fans. They love it, and the people who are involved with the poll, and if your team's number one, you think it's just great. We got a big test coming up this weekend, Damon. We'll get right into it here before we take our second break today on the Laker Hockey Show. We got Bill Crawford along with Matt Pocket, Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers, talking Laker hockey. And it's going to get tough. I mean, you're going frying pan fire this weekend. You're going to go play Michigan. I think, personally, this is the best team in the country. I think they're better than Minnesota State. I think they're loaded. They got seven NHL draft picks in their lineup, five first-rounders, including the number one pick this past season. The kid turned down millions of dollars in Buffalo to stay and play at Michigan, Owen Power. And we're going to see these guys this weekend, and he's not the only one. And I watched the highlights from their 7-1 dismantling of Bowling Green. And it was like a good junior team playing a high school team. It was ridiculous. They stole pucks, put them in the net. I mean, Bowling Green got blitzed in that game. It could have been worse than 7-1. Michigan's really good. They had 5,500 fans in the building for that exhibition game.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome test to go down there. And like many of us know, I mean, it's obviously an old CCHA rival. We all know what it's like. I'm sure many of you have caught a game or two there. And, a very historic building with a great crowd that gets into it. I think that's one of the things I remember as a player. You know, it's a team of momentum. If you let them get rolling and get the fans get going into it, it can become a real tough place to play quickly. So handling those highs and lows, or if they do score a goal, having a good couple shifts coming right out of it's really critical. Building crowd, like I said, it was nice to get to Omaha and get a little bit of that fan experience back. This will be a whole different level of it, just with the type of schools and the fan bases and the histories. That's one challenge that'll be a little bit new after last year, is just handling that building and the crowd noise. And then obviously you step on the ice and you look at the talent throughout their lineup. So I think style of play will be pretty drastically different. So that's going to be fun to see how our team reacts to a big, strong UNO team that plays a little bit more grittier and hard hitting, into a Michigan team that really wants to get up and down the ice with a ton of skill, a ton of pace. And, we're going to obviously have to take care of pucks and limit that, but a much different style of play. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see, A, how we adjust to that, and B, a little bit more about our team and how we can play a game like that, because it's going to happen. We want to be who we are and not change too much, but you have to have the ability to match different opponents. Bemidji is much different than Mankato, and you have to be able to play both teams and be successful against both
teams. It's like in boxing, too. Styles make fights. I mean, you saw Bemidji State go up against Wisconsin, and I mean, probably a lot of people would say there's a big gap between those two teams in the NCAA tournament last year, and Bemidji walked all over the Badgers in that game. I mean, even with Cole Caulfield scoring a couple of goals.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison there. I think that's be a little bit like that Omaha difference. It's that Omaha plays a very different style of play. So, we're deep in preparation in terms of what we need to do to be successful. How do you take away some of that talent, that pace they play with, and try to limit that? And if we allow them to race up and down the ice, then that building will be into it. So that's one of the keys to it, that you manage pucks, make them play 200 feet, and don't allow them easy offense with turnovers and not taking care of the puck.
It was not a packed house in Omaha at Baxter Arena, which, by the way, brilliant facility. Loved being there for the first time. But it was not a packed house. I thought the fans who were there did bring a ton of energy, though. I mean, they made it feel like a full house. Ann Arbor is going to be full. I mean, I'm just looking online right now at tickets. If you are thinking about buying tickets to see the Lakers take on Michigan down in Ann Arbor this weekend, hurry up. I mean, because there's not much left.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's going to be fun. And that's the difference. UNO doesn't have the history in hockey that Michigan has, and it's a bit of a commuter school still. I think they're still trying to work on making that, a more traditional campus and things like that. The arena is not on campus at UNO either,
right.
So it's still a little bit removed. And, again, we all know, the rivalry between our institution and the University of Michigan and the history there. So this is, I can't call it a hockey school, I guess, because that's not totally how they're known, but certainly a rich hockey tradition and history that's going to have an outstanding environment. And, it's going to be an awesome test for our team. So excited, played a lot of games down in there, either as a player on the bench, and it's a fun place. It's one of those weekends that you always kind of remember and have circled, and, we'll make sure our guys are ready for that.
I think we should probably take our second break in the show today. We'll break it off and we'll come back. We'll talk more about Michigan. We've got a lot of things to talk about when it comes to the Wolverines, and more about the Lakers as well, as we get ready to head down there. Matt and I are going to make that trip. We will both be there on Friday and Saturday nights. It'll be a 7 p.m. start both nights. And again, I'm not sure if the Lakers have a – we always did have a certain number of tickets that we could sell out of our own building to our fans for these games. I'm not sure if we do that in these non-conference situations, if Michigan's supplying us with tickets or not.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't believe there is, and I think we're all coming out of COVID and kind of reestablishing, you know, protocols and things like that, not being conference mates. You know, the players will have a certain ability to get a limited amount for their parents and families and things like that. So, yeah, pretty limited. Like Matt said, if you don't have tickets and you want to get down there, jump online and get those done, because we'd love to see the right colors, the right blue, the right gold in that building this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It'll be a big crowd down there, and they're going to come out. It's not an exhibition game like it was last weekend, that one game with Bowling Green. These are just non-conference games that do count in the pairwise and the RPI and all the rest of this stuff. And we're going to take a break. We'll be back with the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday on ESPN 1400. We've got Michigan coming up this weekend. Lakers will go right back on the road. And, you know, there's something to talk about, too. You come off the Omaha trip, which is a long, long haul. I've done that a few times, which is why I didn't do it this past weekend. But it's a haul. You got to come out of Omaha. It's like 15, 16 hours back to Sault Ste. Marie at a sleeper bus. You get back on Sunday. You try to get your sleep and some rest, et cetera, and get back to business. And you take Monday off from hockey. Now, today you're going to go back to practice, but you only got today and tomorrow, and you go back on the road Thursday to go down to Ann Arbor. So this is what they call the short week. This is a tough test for coaches.
Yeah, it is. It's a short turnaround. And, it's funny because I think one thing we learned through last year when we played, 10 games in 22 days, you know, the guys, honestly, they'd rather play than practice anyway. So there's some positive to it. You know, they'll get pretty excited. I think what's going to be a bigger challenge is the next 3 weeks when we're home and we have a full week of home, no travel, no breaking it up. They're going to feel really long. So we're going to have to get creative with, you know, any kind of boredom or complacency settling in when we actually have a lot of time and being at home. So it is a concern for sure. I think this early in the season, you know, guys are okay and guys are fresh. Again, our bigger concern is already looking at next week and how we keep them fresh and excited with the long week at home. So short turnaround, like you said, we lost yesterday to any type of team function, but we'll get out there today and, we'll get up and down pretty good and start putting in some slight adjustments to try to counter some of the strengths of Michigan and to take some advantage of the weaknesses we see in their game.
Bill, like you said, these trips are tough on broadcasters too. I mean, I got just enough time to get home, play a little Xbox, get some sleep, and I'm still feeling it from yesterday. That 15 hours is a monster.
I think the one of the things too that, you know, that we looked at, had we flown, we would have lost 12 or 14 hours. So by busing out of there, it actually got us home about 12 or 14 hours earlier. So that was really ultimately why we did it. We didn't want to get back home late Monday night instead of Monday morning, and then we really have a short turnaround to Thursday morning and heading down to Ann Arbor. So the bus out of there, the sleeper bus out of there, got us, you know, saved us 12, 14 hours, something like that. We felt that was pretty important with the short week.
All righty, we've got a little bit more detail I want to work here on this Michigan team, too, for our fans who are unfamiliar with them. 7 NHL draft picks in their lineup. They've got 5 first-rounders in there, including Owen Power, young man out of Mississauga, Ontario, who's the number one draft pick of the Buffalo Sabres this past year. And this kid turned down millions to stay at Michigan and play hockey. He's that good. He's a big kid. He's 6'5", kind of a Connor McDavid-type body on him. I don't know if he's anywhere near as good as Connor McDavid, but he must be good. He's a first-round pick. You got a kid named Matty Bernier, who's really good. He's the number 2 pick in the draft. Went to Seattle, the new team in the NHL. Luke Hughes, just another of the Hughes brothers. New Jersey is his draft, and he was number 4 this past June. And then you got Kent Johnson, who's really good, and he's going to be playing in Columbus someday. And Mackie Samsokevich, who's going to be playing for the Florida Panthers. And that's just the 5 first-rounders right there. They got a couple others who are pretty darn good, too. And, okay, here comes Tyler Williams, and here comes Den Besty, and here comes – you got your hands full here, but these guys are going to get a test. And I think our guys are probably looking forward to this because there's nothing you like better if you're a player than going up against really, really good players.
Yeah, and a great environment. So, yeah, I think there'll be a lot of excitement today when we get back together. And I think, you know, obviously that high-end talent with those draft picks and those first-rounders, and, you know, it's certainly a lot, and a lot of weapons there. I think their decor possesses a lot of mobility, a lot of puck skills, so, you know, they can do a really good job of exiting their zone quickly and setting up their rush play where there's a ton of danger on it. When you look at, you know, you didn't mention Thomas Bortolo, who's one of their best players, a great little player. So very good coming out of their zone, very good attacking on the rush. That's those things, areas we're going to be very aware of. I think the thing you don't really hit is a couple of grads. You know, they've got, I think, two or three, maybe four grads as well. So you've got this young high-end talent. Then you've got, I think, three or four fifth-year super seniors, whatever you want to call them. Guys like Luke Morgan and Pashjov, and I think I'm missing one or two more. I can't remember if Blankenberg's back for his fifth year.
He is.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you know, their captain. And so it's a really good blend of experience and guys who've been around a long, long time, and then this high-end young talent. Obviously, it all clicked last weekend against Bowling Green in the 7-1 win and some highlight reel goals there. So it's a big challenge. Like I said, if we don't take care of pucks, if we don't deny time and space, they can really make you look foolish. And in that building, when that happens, that whole building gets rolling. And again, our fans, I'm sure, remember it for years. You know, they can really feed off their home crowd. And but so can we. You know, we can really enjoy that environment too, and really pull together and bond together. We'll take the whole team down there and have some ability to make some adjustments, you know, between games. But it's going to be a great weekend of hockey. And, you know, our goal is to go down there and win a game Friday night, you know. And I think we have belief in our locker room. It's going to take, you know, everybody to play a great game and our best game. You know, that's the goal. You go down there and you win a hockey game, and then you make some adjustments and do it again Saturday night.
I think there's some groups that look around at a team like Michigan, and they've got all these high draft picks, and sometimes there's a little bit of jealousy, you know, why not us? Why are we getting overlooked? I don't see that with this team. And is that the sense that you kind of get? This is a team that's really just confident in itself, secure in itself. They're not really too worried about what's going on over there. They know what their business is here.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's different. You know, these kids all played together growing up. Like, our Michigan kids would have played with a lot of them if they're similar birth years, or their brothers did. And so they all know each other. You know, when I played, you didn't really know the other guys. You didn't like them very much. And you know, you wanted to win, and you wanted to kind of hurt them in some ways. And it's different today because they're all buddies. They're all connected through national camps or teams and things like that. So, I don't think jealousy is at all an issue. There's a respect because we can obviously see the talent on video and, you know, the draft choices backing up. So you have to go in there with respect of what they can do on the ice. But then you have to go, you know, earn it. You have to win the inches and win the battles, and you can really enjoy that, and it can really bring a team together.
I think that's interesting, too, what you just touched on, because it seems like in some ways the nature of competition changes because you do know everybody, because in some ways it does become almost the super best friends club. But at the same time, when you go out there, you know, it doesn't really – these guys still bring that commitment, that passion, that desire. They still want to win on the ice, but it's a little – different off the ice too. They don't kind of hate each other as much as they did 30 years ago.
No, exactly. Well, you said you didn't know each other. You didn't have phones and you weren't texting and whatever, all that stuff that they do now. And so I do think that's a pretty significant change in our sport. I'm not sure if that's the same across sports. There's more national stuff too, and guys doing summer teams together. So even if kids, I'm always amazed, we'll have a Western Canadian kid that ended up on a summer team. They went out to a tournament and played together from a kid from, you know, like Colcraft in North Bay. And I'm like, you know, how in the world do you guys know each other? And they spent a summer team together, something like that. So
yeah, this is 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, it's
here.
Very connected. And so that's interesting to watch develop. But yeah, when that puck drops, you know, you want to go out, you want to do a number, and you want to win a hockey game. And that's certainly what we're looking to do this Friday night.
Damon, you mentioned Nick Blankenberg at Michigan a few seconds ago. He had 2 goals in that 7-1 win over Bowling Green. And Brendan Brisson had 3 goals. And they had 2 goals on the power play and 2 chances. And I watched the highlights again, and it's like it's on a string. I mean, Mel's got a good team here, and he's a good coach.
Yeah, no, he's obviously done a great job, you know, starting at Tech and then going down there, you know, I guess starting at Michigan for many, many years. But they've recruited a ton of talent. You know, they love to play fast and get up and down and outskill you. And, again, if you get into a track meet with them and want to race up and down, you know, you can make it a long night there. So we've got to, you know, really make sure we're playing the right way, playing within our structure, doing the things we do well. And, you know, some of that youth youth might not be bad. Like I said, you know, we're so young, we're just going to go in there and not worry about some of those things and, you know, find a way to equalize some of the things that they do well.
You talked about the schedule a few moments ago. We're going to go to Michigan this weekend. It'll be a tough test there. Then we're going to come home and three straight weekends we got at home. We got St. Thomas on Great Lakes State weekend coming in for the first time ever to play the Lakers. And then in come a couple of Eastern schools, Union College, and you got St. Lawrence coming in, and that'll bring Mike Guggen back to Sault Ste. Marie. He's
nice,
an assistant there now at St. Lawrence. He'll be returning for the first time since he left last spring.
Yeah, it's. I think it sets up well, you know, to be able to go to Omaha again. We didn't travel full team just because of the logistics of getting there. But in Ann Arbor, we'll take the whole team down there, so a chance just to kind of get away and bond a little bit more, be in that, you know, that other opponent's venue and kind of go through that hard test there. I think there's a lot of value in that. And then, as you said, coming home, you know, we've gone through a couple of different styles of play. We've gone through the road grind. Again, we're going to have to protect a little bit of those long weeks at home when you don't travel and break up your week. But certainly, I think a lot of excitement for that Great Lakes State weekend. You know, we'll have great crowds. Obviously, we'll put the banner up Saturday night. We've got some other things planned for the team and the returning guys who were part of that championship last year. And then those other few weeks, again, I think some different styles of play from the Eastern schools. And it'll be nice to kind of get back to Taffy and get settled in a little bit and get to know a ton about our team. I think we'll have a lot of the kinks worked out by you know, maybe even St. Thomas, but certainly post St. Thomas. We'll have those two last non-conference weekends to look at a couple last adjustments or chemistry or whatever the case may be, and then finalize things as we return to CCHA play.
Two big pieces of the staff departing this offseason. We mentioned Mike Guggen, the ex-volunteer assistant, who's now coordinator of hockey operations at St. Lawrence. He's a terrific guy. Miss him quite a bit. Patrick Sarney, the athletic trainer. They've been replaced by the new athletic trainer, Megan Bryant, who got a chance to get to know her a little bit. She seems excellent so far. DJ Goldstein, the new volunteer assistant, who's been here for like 2 days, it seems like. But Wes DeYoung, equipment manager. Hunter Deal, director of hockey operations, who's a really bright kid with the analytics stuff. Taylor Brown, strength and conditioning. Student manager, Dan Kinnear. And even the SID, Kelsey Smith. With you, Mike, your exact size, this is one of the longest tenured staffs in the CCHA. You guys have mostly been together for a long time. I think Wes has been here since the 90s.
Wes, and
I think he's like 22.
I think coaching staff-wise, we might be second longest tenured in the league now with Coach Daniels and his staff been together a long, long time. But everybody else has had some changes. So I do think there's a real good workflow and chemistry among a lot of our staff. Obviously, as you mentioned, Megan and DJ get added in here, but a lot of understanding about what the roles are, what the expectations are amongst the majority of our staff, and we're really excited for Megan. She did a great job, jumped right into it, and our guys are in good hands that way. And DJ did not travel with us. He got in last weekend, and we just want to give him a chance to get settled in. He was able to run some things with the guys back here, but he'll be with us the rest of the year on the road, and really, really bright guy who is going to do a lot of our skill developmental work. He's done a lot of skill development in the past to do a good job there, and then look at everything with a fresh set of eyes. So it'll be nice to have that new thoughts coming in with all the established relationships we've had on staff.
I think getting to know some of these people myself a little bit, the qualities about them that stand out: young, energetic, driven people who have really sharp minds. And there's kind of a common theme with this staff, because when you look at player development in the last couple of years, you look at recruiting, everything is really just high energy driving forward with this team. That's something you seem to be focused on, though, wanting to get that youthful energy in with this program.
Well, I think, the development thing is so important today too. We can look at the Diego Cugliettas and the Max Humitzes, as Diego led the nation in goals and Merrick's a Richter Award finalist. That's part of your recruiting. You can come to Lake State, you can get a great degree, you can graduate, and you can also lead the country in scoring or be a Richter Award finalist, go on to pro hockey. You can't do those things without a great development plan, and that's something that we take a lot of pride in, is having individualized plans for all of our players. When you look at a guy like Miro Muka, who, couldn't crack the lineup, not totally on him. The guys in front of him his freshman year, now he's a captain, now he's one of our top impact guys. So Mike York and Zach Sizek do a tremendous job of working with those guys individually, and I think DJ is going to be a real good shot in the arm too, to really up our developmental game and our skill development in that area.
We're flat out of time here on our first show back at the Antlers. We'll break it off here in a second. I want to mention one other change we've made, though, and that's somebody that the fans who are here today need to get to know. That's Abby Layla, who's taken over for Hunter Perry. Abby's the one who's going to be doing that program that everybody's concerned with that'll have the names and the pictures and all that sort of thing, and she's doing a great job. She's been around for quite a while now. She kind of assisted Hunter for years, and she knows what's going on. She's from Michigan Tech and the western end of the UP, but she's pretty smart, and she's picking it up in a hurry.
Yeah, if you've paid attention to Lakers social media in the last couple of years, that's been basically 100% Abby. She's run that very, very well and just exploded the amount of content that's on there, the amount of followers, the amount of people engaging with it. I mean, those numbers have just gone through the roof since she took those accounts over a few years back.
Yeah, she's done a great job in that role the few years, and now her new role, and I guess our first radio show, you know, Dr. Dials, our new athletic director, they're all underneath her, so he's doing a really good job of building his team and, you know, bringing in some of the things that he's done at other past stops to build our brand and to build our department. So really exciting time, and, you know, looking forward to a great weekend of hockey, but a lot of good things going on in the back end with our department, the university, and certainly Laker hockey.
Yeah, if you can't get down there to Michigan this weekend, and it's going to be tough to get tickets for that, I think Big Ten TV will probably have the games. I'm not positive how you go about getting that without paying for it. But Matt and I will be there, and you'll be able to listen on Yes FM. We'll have both games starting at 7 o'clock. 6:35 airtime, 7 o'clock game time from down at Yost Arena in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And, hey, if everybody's young and energetic, that's why I didn't go to Omaha right there. Yeah, they're all... I don't fit that description.
That lets us survive those 15-hour bus rides.
Anyway, that's it for the Laker Hockey Show. I want to thank the fans who are here with us today and those of you listening in. Spread the word on it. It's at a new time, and a lot of fans probably didn't even hear it today, but you'll be able to get the podcast. Matt will have that up in the next couple of days. And that's the Laker Hockey Show. Damon Witten, Matt Pocket, Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.